At one stage, we had, it was interesting, we had two toddler groups. We had a Monday morning and a Thursday afternoon. And the Thursday afternoon was actually very, very quiet. The Monday morning, really busy. And so I suppose from the outside, the Monday one looked like it was very successful. It brought everybody in. But actually, when you got down to the nitty gritty, it was on the Thursday afternoon one, when there were very few people, that you actually got to build those relationships and have more gospel-centered conversations.
Hello and welcome to Independence, the FIEC podcast. My name is Adrian Reynolds. I'm the head of National Ministries for the FIEC. I'm here with Liz Turton. Hello, Liz.
Hello, Adrian.
Nice to see you.
Thank you.
And we're here to talk toddler groups and other stuff.
Okay.
So yeah. Tell us a little bit, Liz, about church life and toddler group in particular. Just tell us, kind of set it in a context for us, that the group that you're involved with.
Okay, so I'm at Long Crendon Baptist Church, which is a large village, a very sort of middle-class village. And our toddler group has been running for a number of years. It's changed over the years. It has a very good reputation in the area. It's known as a very friendly group, which is brilliant. We have made changes to it in the last probably 4 years or so. So, yeah, that's been interesting. We have a mix of people. We have people coming as far away as Aylesbury.
Which is how far?
Which is...
You're not good on English geography.
20 minutes away.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah. We have a mix of parents, carers, grandparents, nannies, childminders.
I guess lots of churches will be running toddler groups, and that will be the narrative that lots of churches will have, that people generally think church groups... think of them well. I think that's probably true.
Yeah.
Generally see them as friendly.
Yep.
You'd hope.
Yeah.
you can't always count on that, can you? But generally see them as friendly. And one of the reasons we're talking about toddler groups is, and we'll come to this perhaps a bit later in the podcast, but as part of our centenary, we asked churches to submit mission projects that they wanted other churches to pray for. And you submitted a project to us about your toddler group.
Yeah.
And about some of the ways that you were trying to build relationships and provide resources. And we'll come to that. Let's just talk about toddler groups in general, though, a little bit first, if we may. And here, I'm obviously not the expert. I'm beyond the stage of our children being toddlers. Although I now have four toddler grandchildren. So I'm rediscovering afternoon naps, formula milk, and nappy changing. Although my wife will dispute whether I actually change any nappies, but that's neither here nor there. So I'm rediscovering toddlers. But toddler groups are very often an integral part of church life, aren't they? Lots of churches of different sizes run a toddler group. Why are they so popular?
I think they provide a service, don't they?
Yeah.
It's a place for people to come together with their children, to meet other parents. And I think during COVID, we really saw when toddler groups couldn't meet, that actually they were really missed. And they're an integral part of a child's development as well.
And a constantly changing constituency as well, obviously.
Yeah.
People, as their children grow up and they come through and a new crowd come in, so it provides contact. And are they... I've got to be careful saying this. Are they reasonably easy to put on in terms of organisation and stuff? You know, you think about a lot of the activities that church do. Obviously, you need people, don't you? You need toys. You need a venue. You need to sort of tick some boxes. But would you say they're kind of in terms of organisationally reasonably straightforward, or am I being too simplistic? Feel free to disagree with me. There's a man talking. Yeah. That's what you're thinking. I know.
Yeah. In some ways, yes. I think probably the hardest part of it is actually getting a team together and getting enough people to serve in that. Our toddler group used to be, before COVID, on a busy day, we would have over 120 parents, carers, and children. And yet our team was fairly small. So you couldn't build those relationships.
Okay, that's interesting.
At one stage, we had two toddler groups. We had a Monday morning and a Thursday afternoon. And the Thursday afternoon was actually very, very quiet. The Monday morning, really busy. And so I suppose from the outside, the Monday one looked like it was very successful. It brought everybody in. But actually, when you got down to the nitty gritty, it was on the Thursday afternoon one, when there were very few people, that you actually got to build those relationships and have more gospel-centered conversations.
So if you're providing a service, which isn't a bad thing to do, right? You know, we want to do good, don't we? So it's not wrong in and of itself. But if you just want to provide a service, your number of staff, the relationship between the number of people you have in your staff and your team and the number of people you have coming, you'd probably want a different equation than if you actually want to really make contact and make it meaningful.
Yeah. It was interesting, actually. We re-looked at what our aims were a few years ago.
Right, okay.
And so I suppose when we came together, one of them would be to provide a service. Yep. But actually, as a church ministry, we wanted to do more than that. So as part of our aim, we would want to show the love of Jesus to people who are coming. Yep. We also want to be a place where we can talk about Jesus and what he means to us, and also to hopefully be a stepping stone into the full life of the church.
Right.
Okay. So I suppose that would be what our main aims were, sort of not just the service. We want to be different than a normal community toddler group.
So that's interesting that you've thought about it that way, and that does then shape, doesn't it, how many people you have. And we were just talking about this before we started recording, and actually I wonder if... I'm a simple thinker, far too simple, some people would say. And I've always thought, you know, it's about getting as many people as you can in and as much contact. But actually, if you're not making meaningful contact with people, that starts becoming self-defeating if you've got these aims where you want to provide some of that meaningful conversation.
Yeah. It was interesting as well. I keep saying that, don't I? But
it's all interesting.
It's all interesting. Before COVID, it was about, I suppose, more about getting people in. And then with COVID, we had to restrict numbers when we were eventually allowed to come back together. And actually, through that time, we were able to take the team with us. They could see the benefits of not having so many people.
Did you have people like me who just thought it's about maximizing numbers? Yeah. I could see you were thinking of someone in particular at that point, yeah. So I mean, that's been our experience too. So my wife helps run our toddler group. We have a music toddler group, and we have a very small team of people who are available, and many of those were reasonably elderly, so they weren't sort of getting down on the floor and getting amongst the kids. And I can't remember how many people we had, but it was a great number. And when we went to we had to move to a new venue, and when we went to this new venue during COVID, we suddenly had to cut numbers by 60-65%. And I was crestfallen. I thought this was a disaster. You know, I thought actually this is kind of a really backward steps in ministry. And my wife, who's much wiser than I, said, "No, this is going to be much better because actually it's more appropriate for the number of people we've got." And actually, that's proved true. So we've had evangelistic fruit in a way that we've not had for a long time coming out of our toddler group, just because the helpers are not just running around clearing up vomit and making drinks and all the rest of it. They're actually able to sit down with mums and have conversations and get involved in lives. And actually, even that is showing there are other needs that we need to meet, which perhaps kind of brings us slightly onto your Pray for 100. Tell us about your Pray for 100 submission, because it wasn't just about we've got this toddler group and we'd love the toddler group to thrive. You were thinking about something very specific, weren't you, in relation to your toddler group?
Yeah, let me just take a step back from that, because before then, what we do, about 4 years ago, we changed how we run our toddler group.
Right.
So up to then, we would always do a Bible story and it would be geared towards the children.
Okay.
About 4 years ago, we decided to completely change what we do. So instead of having a story for the children, what we do is have a 2-3 minute slot, which is aimed at the adults. So we've done various things.
How do you introduce that to adults? How do you introduce that change? Because that feels like we're doing this group for kids. Now we're doing a group for adults that kids are along at. So do you just change it 1 week, or did you? How did you manage that process?
It was at a time when we were changing, so we didn't have the people power to continue with our Monday group.
Right.
So we had to change days.
Okay.
So during that time, we thought, actually, we'll think it through. What are we going to do? What are we going to change? And I did actually go and visit a toddler group at Spicer Street in St. Albans and saw what they did.
Right.
So that was kind of what gave me the inspiration, really.
So slot for adults, what does that mean?
Yeah, so we've literally kind of said to people, we're all Christians who run this, we're meeting in a church, we would love you to know more about what we believe. So we've kind of done it very gently. We've interviewed the team and got them just to tell their testimony. So it might be 3 questions. Who are you? How did you become a Christian? And what does Jesus mean to you in your day-to-day life? literally 3 minutes.
Yeah.
So we've done that. There's a course called Wonderfully Made. Mm-hmm.
We'll put the link for that on the bottom.
Yeah,
of the
we've done that in a slightly different way. Rather than doing it as a course, we've just done it as a talk.
Okay.
So 1 week we've looked at Wonderfully Made to be creative.
Yeah.
And then the next week we've interviewed somebody from a team to look again at what that looks like in practice. This term, we're actually looking at different feelings that we might go through as a parent and what the Bible might say about that. And again, we'll be interviewing people to...
So for example, some things you've been covering.
As a parent, you might go through a time when you're anxious or worried. It might be a time when you feel like you've totally blown it.
Yeah.
Might be a time when you're...
That's definitely my parenting strategy.
Yeah. So just different feelings, looking at what the Bible says, and then interviewing somebody the next week about, well, how was that when you felt like that? What did you do as a Christian? Yeah. How did you cope with it?
What sort of response do you get to these things? Because that seems quite a shift. You know, it's interesting, you know, we sing, we our music group, we introduce it by saying we're going to sing some, well, funnily enough, the person leading it says we're going to sing some Christian songs and some non-Christian songs. I'm not sure that people who come understand what non-Christian songs means, but we sing some Christian songs and we're unashamed about that. So I guess people might expect that if they came to a church group. They might not expect to be spoken to as adults.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how have people responded to that shift? Do they listen well?
Most of the time, yes. Sometimes not always.
Okay.
We also have a Facebook page. And now, I suppose we've built it up over the years. People stay on it. They don't go once their children have gone. So we have about 158, I think, on it. So we also record the little 2-3 minute slot and post it each week.
Oh, interesting.
So when the children come in, they've had an hour of free play. They come into the main church. We sit down. We sing some songs, nursery rhymes, a couple of Christian songs.
Yeah. Some Christian songs
some non-Christian songs. we give the children a little snack. So while they're sat eating snack, they're occupied.
Yeah.
And we literally have 2 or 3 minutes to then speak to the adults.
Yeah.
So at the beginning of each term, I explain, this is what we do. We would love you to think and talk about faith Jesus, and if you've got any questions. So they seem to be quite receptive to it, although from the other side, sometimes it feels like you're kind of, is anybody really listening?
Yes, yeah.
It's interesting, actually. I did see one parent I met up with, to do with the project that we're going to get on to talk about. And she actually said that she'd never really thought about God until she came to Toy Box, which is our toddler group. And in that 2-3 minute slot, it had got her thinking. And
that's what you want. That's what you're praying for, isn't it? That kind of response.
And as a consequence, she has been coming to church, which is
fantastic.
Amazing.
So, it's great to hear stories like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
And sometimes I think it is just those little things. I wonder if sometimes we're overly ambitious in what we try and do, thinking that unless I've got, everything into a gospel talk, into a testimony, then, it hasn't really done the job. But actually, at that point, we're trying to pique interest, aren't we? We're trying to say, here's something you perhaps haven't thought about, and give them the opportunity to then to respond. And that's the way to go about it, isn't it? So tell us a bit more about your project.
Yeah.
Because this is slightly different, isn't it? But actually, kind of pursuing the same path, thinking about the adults especially.
Yeah.
So tell us about that.
So a year ago, Care for the Family do a conference once a year for toddler group leaders. Last year it was online. And in one of the sessions, they had a lady speaking about how you support women going through child loss, baby loss. She did a whole hour session and it was very listenable to. And it just got me thinking at the end of it. One of the things she quoted was from Philip Yancey, I think. I can't quite remember how the quote goes. But it's basically, if somebody is grieving, then they're more receptive to hearing the gospel message.
Right. Looking for answers.
Yeah.
They've got questions that haven't, they're just puzzled about. And sense of loss.
So that got me thinking, actually, there's all sorts of issues around pregnancy, around childbirth, that we don't really talk about. People suffer on their own and nobody ever really knows.
Yeah.
They come through it and, nobody knows what's gone on in their life. And I thought it'd be really good to try and get some of those things talked about more. So I kind of thought about it at the time. And there is a week in October, which is, I think it's baby loss or miscarriage week. Okay. I thought maybe I could get something together and do something for that. I didn't. And then I kind of, as I thought about it, I thought, actually, this is a bit more complicated than I thought it was going to be, because you're actually going to be bringing up lots of different emotions. So I put it aside, but then it kept coming back and I started praying about it a little bit more and thought, actually, no, I think I need to pursue this. So I started reading around. I was reading a number of books, looking at websites and kind of thinking through the whole miscarriage, the infertility, postnatal depression, premature baby, all those different issues. And in my thinking, I thought it would be good to try and get these topics talked about more out in the open, but also to offer, or for people to be able to see, that as a Christian, we might still go through those difficult things, sure, but we have Jesus with us through those difficult times, and to try and point them to the hope that we have.
So you want to try and be realistic.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to say Christians are immune from this or are able just to laugh it off or whatever. You know, actually it's just as painful and real for us as Christians, but actually we have a way of thinking about it that actually is different from the way the world might think about stuff.
Yeah. So when I first started thinking about it, I wasn't quite sure where I was going to go with it. Since I think I put my submission in, what I have decided to do is that we're going to kind of have a mission week.
Okay.
And in that week, we're going to record some interviews, 5 interviews with various people who have been through difficult things. They're all Christians. So we've got somebody who suffered with infertility. They did go on to have 3 miscarriages, but their story, they've actually written a book, so that was quite interesting. I've got somebody else who had 6 miscarriages and then had to give birth. Her baby had died at 26 weeks. And her story, she went on to have 3 other children who all survived, all lived. Have somebody who, a couple who, they're at their 20-week scan, their baby was diagnosed with a difficult issue that wouldn't survive, meant that he wouldn't survive after birth. And so they actually ended up having a termination due to medical grounds, because the baby and the mother's health was deteriorating. So they had to make that sort of painful decision. Somebody else who had postnatal depression, and then somebody who had a baby born with severe brain damage due to mistakes that the hospital made, and he lived till he was 6 and a half. So I've been interviewing, I am still in that process of interviewing them, hearing their stories, and I suppose what part their faith has played in that. And then with the hope of pointing them to the hope of Jesus.
So are these video interviews?
They're video interviews.
And how are you going to use them in that week? What's the plan? Because that's quite sort of full on. Just even hearing those stories, I'm quite kind of choked up.
No, exactly. And that's my worry as well. And I suppose why it needs to be so covered in prayer, I think. That actually it brings up raw emotions, doesn't
Indeed.
It?
That's right.
One couple I was talking to was saying that they actually visited a number of churches and kind of spoke. And she was saying that in one of their services, there was a lady who was in her 80s who had had a miscarriage 60 years ago, never spoken about it. And that had come up during that time. And she was able to process that a little bit more. So I forgot what your question was.
No, well, I think I was just saying, how are you going to use the videos?
Yeah, so at the moment, my plan is that we would post it on our Facebook page. Okay. Obviously, that's not that appropriate if you're infertile. You're not going to be on a toddler page. Yeah. We'll also do it on our church website, Facebook page. And with the idea of people just being able to share it with somebody.
So you can pass a link on, which is actually a great way, isn't it, of using resources to be able to WhatsApp someone a link or text someone a link. You could put a little nice message with it, you know, hey, thinking of you, that you might find this helpful. That's quite an easy thing for someone to do on a very difficult topic.
Yeah.
But actually, I would find it very difficult to have a conversation with someone, I imagine, about some of these topics. But to be able to send a link,
that's my hope as well, that actually, even if we haven't experienced something like that, we probably all know people who have.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to know what to say, isn't it? So actually, as you say, to be able to send a link to something might help a conversation and being able to support them in that.
Do you think it helps having people locally that you're using for that? You know, people that you know, people who are nearby. You know, you're not just telling the story of someone who's, you know, a distance away. It feels there's an immediacy to it. Do you think that makes a difference?
Yeah. Yes, I don't know. That's interesting. Some of mine aren't. They are connections with people at church.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm not
maybe,
sure.
Maybe not. Yes. Yeah. Just as an aside, interestingly, I've just written a commendation for a book for men whose wives have had miscarriages. Mm-hmm. And I think you're absolutely right. We hardly ever talk about this for women, even less for men.
Yeah.
And actually just helping men to think about how they love their wives and how they process and cope with miscarriage. We'll put the link on the bottom. Yeah. It's a good book, company book. I found it really helpful. So I think there is a whole underdeveloped kind of group of subjects here, aren't there? That as Christians, we have got things to say about them that actually are really, ultimately they're Christ exalting because Christ is Lord of all, isn't he?
It's been lovely actually during this process. So I've been speaking to all sorts of people. I've spoken to some health visitors as well and midwives. And I also put a thing on our toddler group Facebook page to say if anybody's experienced any of these and you'd like to or be happy to talk to me, then do get in touch. And I've had a couple of really good conversations with people. And because they've made themselves vulnerable and spoken out to me, it was very easy to then ask the question, do you have a faith? And if you do, what difference has that made?
It doesn't
made?
Seem an unnatural question to ask at that moment, does it?
No. And as I mentioned at the beginning, this one couple, through that conversation, her and her husband have started coming to church.
Right.
Which is brilliant. And I think even if they're the only people who come as a result of the whole project, then that's good, isn't it?
So at some level, it's quite a daunting thing. You know, you could have someone come to you with really very complex and tragic and sad situation. How have you prepared yourself and kind of maybe other members of the team to think about how you might deal with responses or questions that people ask?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think I've gone through lots of different stages during this where I've kind of just wanted to ditch it all and not do it. But then the people that I've spoken to have said, no, you must. It needs to get out there. I spoke to a couple of midwives, health visitors who deal with mental health and sort of trauma. And they were very aware that actually you need to be very careful with how you do this. If somebody's been through trauma, to go through all that trauma again is really difficult. So actually after that conversation, I thought, maybe I'll just ditch it all again. I think it's really hard. I've been reading a lot around it, and I think it comes back to, again, doesn't it, being covered in prayer. Prayer for those being interviewed, that they're actually making themselves vulnerable. They're going over things which are difficult for them. Prayer for me as I interview them, and also prayer ongoing for people who will be listening, because it could bring up lots of, as we said before, raw emotions.
Let's be realistic about it. Lots of churches could and do put on toddler groups. This kind of thing that you're talking about is not going to be for everyone, is it?
No.
Not everyone will have the skill set or the emotional capacity or the wisdom and the knowledge to be able to, and the capacity to be able to deal with some of these things. It's a slightly more specialist, but actually we shouldn't be writing things off just because only some people can do them. Mm. Seems like there's a real opportunity.
I think one of the things that came through the conversations that I had as well, that there aren't always resources, or we're probably much better now, but in the past there haven't been the resources that people have been able to go to. They've been thrown in at the deep end. They're in the middle of having a miscarriage they don't know what to expect. So I think one of the things that I would like to do at our toddler group is to have an area where there are books, there are resources, handouts that people can take away that they can read
so
up.
So it becomes an ongoing part of the toddler group kind of ethos, if you like.
Yeah.
And so people feel it's a safe place to come and talk.
We had another lady who came. She probably came when the baby was about 2 months old, And she couldn't stay that long because she was going back to work. But she wrote us a lovely card saying, I still am suffering from postnatal depression. It took me a long time to pluck up courage to come along, but I came along and I've had such a lovely welcome. I wish that I'd come much earlier. And, you know, again, there are people out there who are struggling and come into our toddler groups, and we might not know what's going on.
Yeah, so. I've also just recently read a book by Steve Midgley and Helen Thorne on mental health, not a particularly for mums, just more generally on mental health in the church. And it's out in January. Again, we'll put a link on the bottom of the website. Really, really helpful little primer. I found it really, really helpful. One of the things that really struck me about it is in the latter chapters, they develop this, you know, how do you help someone who's got depression? How do you help someone who perhaps is struggling with various different mental illnesses? And what really struck me about it is just how actually showing kindness and love and compassion and patience is a great Christian way to respond. You don't necessarily have to be able to give answers to medical questions. Well, you don't have to give answers to medical questions that are beyond your understanding. But actually, every Christian can do that, can't they? Every Christian can show kindness and love. And the fruit of the Spirit is such a valuable part of Scripture, I think, that if we displayed the fruit of the Spirit, if we were filled with the Spirit and displaying his fruit in the way we interact with other people, I think it would have such a significant impact. And actually, that needs to be the kind of the way that all toddler groups are run, right? We need to be showing that love and care and compassion, gentleness, patience. Yeah. Yeah. It kind of makes a big difference, doesn't it? Because that's actually why people say our groups are friendly.
Yes.
It's because actually they're seeing something in us. I mean, they might not articulate it this way, but I guess they're seeing something in us that they're not seeing in, you know, the group that the council runs or local.
And I think that's very true. I was reading something, I think it came up on my Facebook page. I hope it wasn't a church toddler group, but somebody had written in saying, you know, how difficult it was to go to a toddler group because nobody spoke to them. I know from my own experience, I can remember going to one toddler group when my children were little and thinking, well, I don't think I'm going to come back here because nobody's even smiled at me. Yeah. But
And do you think then we ought to be doing more training for those who work in toddler groups? Because it's interesting that we're talking about, you know, actually, there are just general things that we can do in a toddler group to make people feel welcome and have conversations and all the rest of it. But actually, people may start opening up about difficult things. Do we need to do any training, do you think, of team members just in terms of preparing them for some of that stuff? Now you've been working on it a little bit.
Yeah, I did. When we regrouped as a toddler group 4 years ago, I did do some training with the team, and where we talked about, I suppose, just kind of asking questions, connecting with people, connecting people that you're having a conversation with other people. Yeah. I suppose kind of stepping out of our comfort zone a little bit. I also did a little bit on evangelism. It's interesting. One of the girls on our team has really loved this. It's one of those sheets of paper where you kind of have a different chart. You put down somebody's name and you kind of tick off if you've had a conversation where you've connected, whether you've had been able to share your testimony or the gospel or invited them to something. She loves that. And we went over that the first 4 years ago, and she used to take it home after toddler group. She used to sit down over her lunch and she used to fill it in and pray for those people. And it just helped her to really be more intentional in her praying. She hasn't been able to, I think she was on the team for about a year and then had to step back, and she's just rejoined us. And she said to me, "Oh, will you resend me that chart?" I don't think anybody else has used it,
but she has.
She's found it really helpful. So I think it is that intentionality of actually, why are we here? We're here to build relationships, to make people feel welcome. There might be people coming who are really struggling. Let's make them feel welcome and give them openings to be able to share something if they want to. They might not want to.
Let me ask you one final question.
Yep.
Just slightly loaded. Here I am, I'm the pastor, you're the women's worker. I think in many churches which have toddler groups, the toddler group just kind of happens. How can elders, pastors support you? You know, what sort of things would be useful? I mean, you're married to the pastor, so it's a little bit different. You know, you can beat him up a little bit at night with a rolling pin. But what sorts of things are useful, I think, for leaders in terms of supporting those who are running toddler groups? What sorts of things should I be thinking about? How do I, as a church leader, get both the leadership of the church and the church itself behind what you're doing?
Yeah, I think visiting the toddler group, right. I think that's really important. My husband, Neil, works in the office on a Thursday morning, so he normally comes in and has a cup of coffee.
Great, okay.
And gets to chat.
He doesn't just come and dress as Father Christmas at Christmas time.
No. Okay. I think he probably only comes in for the cake.
Okay,
but,
okay.
Yeah. I think the other thing is praying for it at church meetings, at prayer meetings, and getting it out there so people know what's going on as a church. You know, yeah, I've had opportunities to do that, which has been really helpful. And then people understand a little bit more about what's
happens. In those settings, prayer meetings, you can tell some of the stories, can't you?
Yeah.
You might not want to do that in Sunday service, but you can, you know, prayer meeting, you can tell a story about this conversation or that conversation and get people praying.
Yeah.
So actually visiting, really important.
Yeah, visiting.
And praying, I guess, sort of the standard things. And also, I think, I mean, personally, I'm married to a women's worker as well, so I feel kind of I get the same input. So I think as well, it's constantly making sure people see this as a key ministry of the church. I think increasingly opportunities to make contact with people outside the church. I mean, the situation's always fluid. I think in youth groups, it's increasingly difficult to make contact with non-Christian young people, just because of pressures at school and, you know, people being suspicious about church life. But actually, toddler groups are a really key part of a church's community contact.
And if you
I've got to make something of that. I want the church to get excited about that.
Yeah. And if you think with a toddler group, you've probably got 50 or 60 mainly unbelievers coming into a church building once a week.
Yeah.
Not many other ministries.
No, that's it happens exactly like that. Liz, thank you so much. I think what you're doing is incredibly important. I'm slightly in awe of it, to be honest, but I think it is really important. And we'll put some links to some of the material on the bottom of the page. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
We wish you really well. We'll be praying for you
at
Toy Box. And especially with this initiative, that sounds like a really important thing to be doing. Thanks for joining us. This has been Independence FIC Podcast. You can subscribe through your normal provider, or you can like us as well. That'd be helpful. Thanks for joining us.